I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. The title, we talked about, do liquor stores save black lives? In other words, do they help or hurt the black community? So I got a lot of feedback on that. Actually, it's tracking really well in terms of downloads. So I appreciate all the feedback on text and email from those people that heard it and wanted to share their thoughts on it. Let me talk a little bit before I introduce my in-studio guest. I want to talk about Ferocious for Flint. We have a show coming up, and that is going to be on Saturday, February 25th in LA at the Santa Monica Playhouse. So you'll be seeing and hearing more about that as we approach it. And where you can find me is podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. And want to shout out weaintscared.com, ferociousforflint.com. And because this is Black History Month, and not only because, but Black Lives Matter. Very, very important that we keep that in mind. We're not saying we're more important. We're not saying we're less important. We're just saying that we are equally as important as anyone and everyone else. So please keep doing what you're doing. And again, Flint, we are on this 10-city tour and we're on our way in your direction. But so let's go ahead and turn the page. I have a very good friend on the line. His name is Chilembwe Washington. And before I bring him on, let me tell you the name of the podcast for today. And it is Black Men and Post-Production in Hollywood. Again, Black Men and Post-Production in Hollywood. So we know what goes on in front of the camera, right? The actors. And we know the directors involved in that. Sometimes they're even in front of the camera, a la Quentin Tarantino. But we don't really hear or talk too much about the post-production world. So after the film is in the can, Hollywood speak for it's done, it's wrapped. And now they're adding all the bells and whistles and ribbons and what have you onto it. So, Chilembwe. How are you? I'm gonna let you introduce yourself. I'm gonna let you say your name better than I do. So go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chilembwe Washington. I am a 20-year resident of Austin, Texas, by way of Detroit and some places in Massachusetts. I have a beautiful wife that on March 3rd that we're gonna have 10 years together. With our girl, Seven, and our son. I am a visual effects artist. I am a writer, screenplays. Occasionally, once in a while, I direct. And, I am your 21st century Negro. I am the Negro.
You heard it here first.
Negron, son. Negro.
You know, before we started recording, we made a comment about, you had a Facebook post and it was something about, February and it's, the blackness is far, it'll outlast February, it goes beyond February. And, I think there's a certain perception that we have to, as African Americans, get everything out that we can possibly get out in the month of February. Just to kind of take advantage of the attention.
You've been and you've seen enough for me to know that's bullshit.
Right.
You know it. Right. So I think La Post essentially said, you think I only do this in February?
Right, exactly, exactly.
And for the people that know me, they're all laughing because they already know.
Right. Right. And,
because I believe our artists have the intrinsic right to reflect what they see. Mm. We're mirrors to what we see.
Mm.
So if you don't like what's coming from me, well, guess what? That's only what I see.
Right.
So you have a problem with it, well, change the society. Change yourself.
Right.
Don't harp on me.
Right. Exactly. No, I agree completely, completely. And what's interesting and why I wanted to have you on the show, because I met you through Ben and Edwin and Jerry.
That's right.
And they were on a podcast last year, Do Black Men Need Hollywood to Be Successful? And so that was important because I know they're very active in front of the camera, behind the camera, but I don't think people really take time to, when you hear the term visual effects, right? So I'm going to pose this, probably two or three questions in one, but I'll put it out there and just do your best to handle it as best you can. But one, what is visual effects, right? What does that mean? Two, how did you get into the visual effects? I'll stop there too. Just for now. So what is it and how did you get involved?
Okay. Visual effects is basically what you see that's not filmed. In my case, it's rendering and creating, I'll use all the technical terms first. I create 3D assets through animation and fluid simulation or 3D modeling or a combination of those. It's commonly a combination of those. To make things that are impossible to make through physical means, or just too expensive to do in the physical real world. Now, there's a difference between visual effects, which is SFX. There's special effects. That was a common term used 80s, 90s. But special effects is the physical stuff. So sparks, actual explosions, things breaking, going through things that you actually feel, see, touch, taste, that's special effects. Visual effects is inside the computer. Anything that's computer generated is a visual effect. And how did I get in it? It took me a bit because I've been wanting to do this stuff for a while. I started writing a book when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted my own Star Wars because I made it because I didn't see people that looked like me in Star Wars.
Wait a minute now. Lando Calrissian? Man, the Cloud City?
No, back up.
Lando Calrissian, man! No, go ahead.
I am 14 years old and you damn well know what I'm going to say. So you just prodded me. One fine Negro ain't doesn't make a whole bunch of black people.
You know what's interesting?
One guy.
Right. Yeah. I know. I get it.
And if you want to, let's just talk about my favorite one, Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
You got Lando, and you got the other black brother in the blue suit.
Right.
And that was it.
Right.
You want to know how I know? Guess what I got for Christmas in 1983?
Right.
So that's how I know.
Right.
Well, not 83, but when Empire came out. So that's how I know about it. I didn't even know about the other brother, but I got a little thing for Christmas because Mom wanted me to have some black people.
Right.
For some action figures.
Well, you know what? Just real quick, because I have to address that. It just jumped out at me. You're so right. And you never saw a black female. Like, where was his mama? Right. You know, where was his daddy? Right. Where was his sister? Did he have any? Yeah. You know,
who cares about that? No. You could get some affirmative action hires for some damn Star Wars films.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Okay. I'm sorry, man.
That's a whole other subject.
It is. Go ahead. So visual effects. You started writing a book when you were 14. Did you want to add anything else to the book? I'm sorry, man.
Well,
Okay.
So I'll run this rug real quick. Okay. So start writing the book. Before I wrote the book, I drew my ass off. I was definitely an all right artist, but I started writing because I realized I drew too damn slow, right? So I started writing so I could actually write something to draw to. You know, it would be my own work. finished when I was 19. Finished that book when I was 19. Started drawing again. Start wanting to put together the two things and realize that one, what I wrote that took 5 years sucked. hey, I'm the first person to rip apart my own work. Okay, mm-hmm. It sucked. But the cool thing was is that the bones were good, definitely still good, and they're going to be still used. I just can't say how yet. Mm-hmm. Back in 2007, was a promise. There was a promise that I made to my wife. Well, first, she's not my wife. That I said I give 5 years to get in the movie business and do whatever. Well, let's see. Anyway, whenever five years came up, I said, okay, I'll go back into IT fully and do whatever. She said, are you out of your damn mind? No, you're going to keep on going. So a couple years later, I was trying to see my way into the business, and there was this guy called, Australian guy named Alan McKay. Alan McKay, McKay. Mm-hmm. Look him up on IMDb. Transformers, Star Wars, 2012. Oh, wow. Oh, shit. He's the shit. And I did exactly what I told the students to do. I followed my own advice. Follow the people that are in, not only in the business, but are successful in the business. And if they train, get them as a mentor. And that's exactly what happened. He is now my mentor. And you know, before, and I got him because trying to learn on my own just was not happening. I came up against a wall. Eventually, I quit my job at Austin Community College. I took that money. I built a server, got all the parts, built my server, got a good chunk of almost all of the software, and made a workstation out of it. You know, blowing up stuff. Having power bolts in people's hands, all sorts of destruction, all that. Basically, I am trying to be the person I see other people doing and otherwise. And I'm trying to do it out of Hollywood because, quite frankly, you're not seeing too many brothers in Hollywood right now. Now, there are, definitely, and there are some very successful ones at that, but they're not well published. Who knows? I could be wrong, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go do the research. Mm-hmm. Like, do the research and see how diversified Hollywood is. I'm not aiming for Hollywood. I'm aiming for just making sure good works get done.
Well, let me ask you a question, because see, this is something I always try to push past, you know, certain topics and dig a little deeper.
Okay.
You know, Hollywood, I think, is a necessary evil. When it comes to validating, and I hate to use the word validate, because my thing is, if you're doing what you love, you don't need Hollywood to validate your skill set, right? And let's just, you know, let me just say that first before I say this. But unfortunately, because most people in the world, as soon as they see a name attached to a big Hollywood movie or even a mid-level Hollywood movie on the credits, that opens up doors in other areas for you. So I think, you know, I guess, and congrats for the Alan McKay connection and the mentorship. But I guess the question I have for you now, how do you feel knowing that in terms of representation, right? Because just like we talked about, you know, the Lando and, you know, you want to see somebody that looks like you, right? In front of the camera, how do you personally feel knowing that they're at least not publicized? There's not an African-American male or even female doing what you do. And does that create pressure for you? Do you feel like you're a trailblazer, a pioneer? Or how does that motivate you when you approach what you do?
For me, in most places I go, and I mean, skip Hollywood. Mm-hmm. In most places I go, I usually am the first one of whatever department, whatever I am. In fact, I was told just straight up, I was an affirmative action hire at one of my last jobs.
Mm.
Just straight up.
Mm.
Yeah, we're not going to go there right now. job it is. It's to fully represent who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And in the job, no matter what the job is, I have to represent not only what people. I stand on the shoulders of giants, so I have to act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll come to the next room because these two people are acting a fool, and I can hear it from here. Anyway, but that's what family is, right?
Right.
All right. Okay, so basically,
well, do you feel?
I can't think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Do you feel like there's an added level of pressure to be twice as good? I know we've always said that in the Black community. Do you feel like you have to work harder, or do you feel like because it's a computer-driven industry, meaning the CGI, whatever you can pull out of the computer, everyone has access to the same thing. It's more of a level playing field when it comes to the tech. Or do you believe that you personally have to create something even more stunning than your white counterparts?
I don't feel any added pressure in that particular arena. Not with the people I interface with. With us, it's the feeling I get among us is that we are really, really, really diversified group as far as who comes in now. Now, 20 years ago, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have people from all across the planet. In fact, this Muslim band, which they refuse to call a Muslim band in some places, but this band on outsiders coming in to the U.S., mm-hmm. that affects the industry directly.
Mm.
I mean, you heard what I did the other day at the Capitol, Texas Capitol, didn't you?
No, and just for the listeners, the Muslim ban, for those who might not be familiar, the person who is now president of the United States has decided that he would attempt to prevent certain people from entering into the country. But go ahead, what happened at the Capitol?
Oh, there was someone that decided to say all sorts of things and about Muhammad and all sorts of crap like that, and I decided to make my views known. And I didn't do it in a way that you normally would expect me to either.
Okay.
I was very calm. I've spoken these tones.
Got it.
And I requested for him to speak to me exactly like this.
Right.
And how the way he was speaking about Jesus Christ.
Right.
Was it reflected the very message, basically tainting the message that he was trying to get across.
Right. Right. So, you know what?
That didn't end well.
Well, I think, right. And I think, you know, you're hitting on something in a lot of ways that we have to do, right? Whether it, you know, at work, whether we're out in public, there is a sense that we have to sort of restrain ourselves, right? A certain way. We have to present ourselves a certain way in order to get the listener to take us seriously and to really listen to us. And so, you know, for you, I think what I'm really, you know, sort of curious about in terms of opportunity. Now, we you're in Austin, I'm in Austin, you know, Hollywood. There are some elements here. You know, I know Robert Rodriguez, his studio is here. I know the actress Sandra Bullock is here. And not that they represent all
not
of Hollywood.
Sure.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But what do you see? What do you see as your opportunity? Like what is or how do you break into more of the post-production world from here to get further into Hollywood? I know you said you're not interested in that, but if an opportunity came along, you know, would you be open to it?
Oh, I ain't stupid. But I ain't stupid.
Okay.
But it's like Alan was telling me, you know, well, I was telling him, I said, look, Hollywood ain't knocking at my door.
Mm.
no one's going to come to you. And it's not just me, you know. I'm making my stuff so people come to me.
Got it.
So I'm not trying to crawl at people's doors. At the same time, all right, I have to make things that will sell.
Mm.
You know, that can be marketable.
Mm.
There is this exchange. If you look at, what is it, Spike Lee movie, where Mo Better Blues, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Better Blues. Okay. There's a scene with Denzel Washington's character and Wesley Snipes going at it about Denzel Washington's character is like, I look into the crowd and I see Slavics. I see, you know, Japanese, Norwegians. I see everyone but my people.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the black people? We made this art.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm incensed that I don't see my people. Wesley Snipes like, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
What you said was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the things that the people like, they'll come out and see it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make the stuff that people like, they won't see it.
No.
You know? So what you're saying is just bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So things I make, I have to weigh what I think is, at least the stuff I personally make anyway, is culturally relevant to me, mm-hmm. but also some good shit.
Right. Right, right.
I can't just make the most artsy farsy artistic stuff and people, you know, make it and they will come.
Right.
Right. If you think it's that good enough, hey, go ahead. But you know what? You know, it's a business thing. It's the entertainment business.
Right.
Right? You know, you have to think about the business part aspect of everything else. So it ain't all just about race. It ain't all just about this, and that. Guess what?
Mm.
Business. Don't forget the business. The people that we complain about, you know, a lot of us complain about as far as studios and companies and all that crap.
Right.
Well, guess what? They're also in the business.
Right.
You know, you if you want to make something that is more marketable to everyone else that just happens to have black people, a whole bunch of black people in it, well, guess what? If it's a business, they're going to jump on it.
Right.
Right.
So let me ask you, because I know we're running a little short on time.
Let's go. I'm good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you had to make a recommendation to someone, you know, African-American that wanted to get into the visual effects industry, right, what's your number one bit of advice for them? What would it be?
I'm going to speak to you like I spoke to some of my kids. So, hold on. Look at him. Come here. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Girl. Yes. You can cross your legs. I need to see that. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to get into visual effects. Okay. Do you know what it is? Okay. Yeah. You know, there's some dark Vader stuff. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, here's what visual effects is. The first mm-hmm. part of visual effects you learn.
Mm-hmm.
One, you need the tools that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Know the tools.
Right.
Okay. Know the education, the thing that you need to educate yourself to actually make the effects themselves.
Right.
Since visual effects is part of the pipeline, you need to see where are you on that pipeline. Right?
Got it.
So that's just the visual effects. You actually need to know, if you want to continue to get jobs, you need to know how to work, get things in on time or before time. Communication is key. You also need to know how to network, how to talk to people, meet people outside of work. It's not just you on an island out there.
Right.
Right. You know, study the industry.
Right.
Not only just visual effects, but everything up and down the chain.
Right.
See what's around you. Now, for visual effects, I also recommend that you over-study your industry.
Mm.
So when someone asks an actual question, you have an instant answer. You don't have to jump through as many hoops as you otherwise might not need to do.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
In one sense, you do have to be 3 or 4 times better, little lady, than everyone else just to get the same position.
Right.
That's been the same for you know, it's the same for black folk and women and a lot of people for many years. And it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you need to do is study and persevere.
Right.
You need to make sure that the dreams that you have, make sure they do not remain dreams.
Right.
Make sure you have goals attached to that.
Right.
And once you start hitting those goals, hit those goals on a consistent basis. And guess what? Those dreams become goals, becomes reality.
Right.
Because without that, those dreams all remain dreams and they become regret.
All right. Well,
No, that's not for me.
Right.
That's a trip from Denzel, baby. So, you know, that's not for me. Thank Denzel Washington for that one.
Well, look, man, I know we're running a little short on time, but I want to thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully the listeners, anyone that's thinking about getting into the industry or in some way has picked up some nuggets, from this. Do you have any, like, social media that you want to shout out? Any websites really quick?
First of all, I actually would want to for them to go to alanmckay.com. That's what the Alanmckay.
Mm-hmm.
He is very giving. He's one of those people that don't give a damn about what color you are. Okay. It's a real thing. Damn. Okay. Yeah, I mean, he is the shit. By and large, can't say enough about him.
All right.
Because the things I've learned under this man will set me up is the basis for the rest of my life. I'll put it that way.
Well, then this is what we're gonna do. Because again, I know we're running a little short. I'm gonna have you back, right? We'll continue the conversation. But I want to thank the listeners, right, for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1 with Chilembwe Washington, and
you let me act a fool, y'all.
we ain't scared, right?
Act a fool, y'all.
We ain't scared.